In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, Our Vocation. Father Hardin.
The present Holy Father will go down in history, I am sure, as one of the cleverest interpreters and expositors of the meaning of vocation in the Catholic Church. His doctrine on vocation is found in many of the addresses he gives to the faithful in Rome, and by now on the various pilgrimages he makes to other parts of Europe, to Asia, and North and South America. In order to concentrate as much matter as possible into the short time of a single conference, I would like to first offer an outline of what may be called the Pope's theology of vocation, then proceed to fill in the outline with the rich ideas taken from his statements and published writings. We might capitalize Pope John Paul's teaching on this subject in a series of questions as follows. First, what is a vocation? Second, what is our universal vocation? Third, what are the three principal particular vocations? And fourth, how should we respond to our vocation? What is a vocation? A vocation, the Pope says, is a gift from God, freely offered, with no compulsion or coercion on God's side. It is the grace that God gives to us in order that we might achieve the purpose He has in view and reach the goal He has set for us to attain. You might say, in giving a vocation, God looks ahead to the horizon. He beckons to us to follow His call in reaching that horizon. What is a vocation, then? A vocation is a divine call. Only God gives vocations. It is an invitation, a request that God makes to people in order that they might fulfill the mission in life that He has in store for them. Essential to every vocation, therefore, is the end that God has in view. To reach this end, God gives the means. These means are the graces necessary. Since the goal is what God wants a person to achieve, He will always give the grace required. God never calls anyone without assuring us of the provisions, that is, the graces we need to arrive at the destination he has planned. Go means the goal is the mission. The means are the grace. A vocation is a call to a mission with the assurance of the means of attaining that goal. Our universal vocation. The Holy Father goes on to explain that before we look at the special vocations to which people are called, we should first consider the universal vocation of all mankind, and with emphasis, the vocation of all Christian believers, and with further emphasis, all Catholic Christian believers. The Holy Father calls this our eternal vocation. Quoting St. Paul, he says, "For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren," unquote, St. Paul. Our primary vocation, therefore, is to reach heaven. We have been called out of nothingness into existence. Quite a vocation, that. We've been called out of darkness into his wonderful light, and out of sin and estrangement into a life and adoption as his children, so that serving him faithfully here, we might see him face to face and possess him without end in heavenly beatitude. We might call this our first vocation, our universal vocation, our eternal vocation, our heavenly vocation, or more simply, our final predestination. What are the three particular vocations? Against this background of our universal vocation to reach heaven, the Pope goes on to distinguish three particular vocations. We might say they are three special forms of calling or states of life, in which the faithful are called to work out their eternal vocation. Before we go on, we should note that the Pope considers each of these three particular calls as having a double function. First, for the person called, and second, through that person, for others who are to be benefited by each one's vocation. We have a vocation for ourselves and a vocation through us for others. In other words, every vocation is both personal and apostolic, both for the individual and through him for others. Whoever is called, the Pope teaches, is called not just to save and sanctify himself, but also and with heavy emphasis to save and sanctify others. Every vocation is a call indeed, but a call with a mission to bring others and not only oneself to Christ and to the heavenly inheritance for which we were all made. Now we ask, what are the three particular kinds of vocation? Once we assume the eternal vocation to heaven, which gives meaning to all other vocations. These three special vocations the Pope identifies as the priesthood, the religious life, and the laity in the world. First then, vocation to the priesthood. What is the vocation to the priesthood? It is a call to serve the people of God by offering in Christ's name the Eucharistic sacrifice, by forgiving sins in Christ's name, and by proclaiming again in Christ's name the revealed words of salvation. The Eucharist, then, remission of sin, and preaching the Word of God, are the purpose of the vocation to the priesthood. Typical of his own great devotion to Our Lady, whenever the Holy Father writes or speaks to priests, he urges them to commend their priestly vocation to Mary. I think in this context it is worth quoting at length from the Pope's Holy Thursday letter of this year to bishops and priests. Dear brothers, at the beginning of my ministry, I entrust all of you to the Mother of Christ, who in a special way is our Mother, the Mother of Priests. In fact, the beloved disciple, who as one of the 12 had heard in the upper room the words, "Do this in memory of me," was given by Christ on the cross to his mother with the words, "Behold your son." The man who on Holy Thursday received the power to celebrate the Eucharist was, by these words of the dying Redeemer, given to his mother as her son. All of us, therefore, who receive the same power through priestly ordination, have in a certain sense a prior right to see her as our mother. And so I desire that all of you, together with me, should find in Mary the mother of the priesthood which we have received from Christ. I also desire that you should entrust your priesthood to her in a special way. Allow me to do it myself, and trusting to the Mother of Christ, each one of you, without exception, in a solemn and at the same time simple and humble way. And I ask each of you, dear brothers, to do it yourselves in the way dictated by your own hearts, especially by your love for Christ, the priest, and also by your own weakness, which goes hand in hand with your desire for service and holiness. I ask you to do this. So far, the Holy Father, begging his priests to entrust their priestly vocation to Mary, because she is the Mother of Christ, is the Mother of all priests. The vocation to religious life. The present pontiff will be remembered as the Pope who spoke in the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception on the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary this year to thousands of religious women from the United States. But in every country he visits, he goes out of his way, he never fails, to assemble religious and to speak to them about their sublime vocation. Speaking to the religious in Washington, the Holy Father told them, and I quote again, desiring to perfect and intensify what God had begun in your life by baptism, and discerning that God was indeed offering you the gift of the evangelical counsels, you willed to follow Christ more closely, to conform your life more completely to that of Jesus Christ, in and through a distinctive religious community. This is the essence of religious consecration: to profess within and for the benefit of the Church poverty, chastity, and obedience in response to God's special invitation in order to praise and serve God in greater freedom of heart, and to have one's life more closely conformed to Christ in the manner of life chosen by Him and His Blessed Mother. Religious consecration not only deepens your personal commitment to Christ, but it also strengthens your relationship to His spouse, the Church. Religious consecration is a distinct manner of living in the Church, a particular way of fulfilling the life of faith and service begun in baptism. You are called by Jesus Himself to verify and manifest in your lives and in your activities your deepened relationship with His Church. This bond of union with the Church must also be shown in the spirit and apostolic endeavors of every religious institute. Again, unquote, the Pope. Words could not be clearer. A religious vocation contains five essentials, none of which may be dropped, and all of them together constitute a genuine call to serve Christ as a religious. First, lifetime profession of the counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. All religious vocations are lifetime calls. There is no temporary vocation to the religious life. Second, inspired by the desire to give God more than would be necessary for salvation. In less than one paragraph, the Holy Father used the comparative more three times, and then he used the expression greater generosity. A religious vocation is either to give more, or it's not a religious call. Third, in order to serve the church, we are called by the Christ of history to serve the Christ of mystery. The Jesus who lived and walked the streets of our earth, who is very real, founded his mystical body. Born, we should tell ourselves, from his open side on the cross. The universal teaching of the fathers of the church is the church as the second Eve was born of the open side of the second Adam, not unlike the first Eve was born, shall we say, came into the world from the open side of the first Adam. It is that spouse of Christ we are called upon to serve. A spouse that came into existence in Christ's blood on the cross. The church was born in blood. And that's the church that religious are called upon to serve. Needless to say, if need be, with the shedding of their blood. Fourth, under the church's guidance and authority. Religious are not merely following a great man or woman, even a great mystic. The church must step in her ecclesial authority and declare, this is your vocation. If a founder or a foundress begins a community, the church identifies it. Under, therefore, the church's constant guidance and, shall we add, vigilance and authority. And fifth, after the example of Jesus and Mary, the first religious. Like them, with them, and for them, they are not three clever prepositions. That's the reason for a religious vocation. Vocation to the laity . It is to the credit of Pope John Paul that he strives on every possible occasion to alert the laity to their vocation, as well he might. They happen to be the majority of the Roman Catholic Church. And come to think of it, they are the purpose of the other two vocations. But the faithful also have their calling from God. I choose once again, this time from the homily which the Holy Father gave at Limerick during his pilgrimage to Ireland. It was his last religious celebration before he left for America. The passage, again without apologies for its length, deserves to be quoted in full. Today I would like to speak to you about that special dignity and mission entrusted to the lay people in the Church. St. Peter says that Christians are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. All Christians, incorporated into Christ and His Church by baptism, are consecrated to God. They are called to profess the faith which they have received. By the sacrament of confirmation, they are further endowed by the Holy Spirit with special strength to be witnesses of Christ and sharers in His mission of salvation. Every lay Christian is therefore an extraordinary work of God's grace, and is called to the heights of holiness. Sometimes lay men and women do not seem to appreciate to the full the dignity and the vocation that is theirs as lay people. No, there is no such thing as an quotes ordinary layman, unquote the Pope. For all of you have been called to conversion through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As God's holy people, you are called to fulfill your role in the evangelization of the world. Yes, the laity are a chosen race, a holy priesthood, also called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It is their specific vocation and mission to express the gospel in their lives and thereby to insert the gospel as a leaven into the reality of the world in which they live and work. The great forces which shape the world, politics, the mass media, science, technology, culture, education, industry and work, are precisely the areas where lay people are especially competent to exercise their mission. If these forces are guided by people who are true disciples of Christ and who are at the same time fully competent in the relevant secular knowledge and skill, then indeed will the world be transformed from within by Christ's redeeming power. Unquote. The Vicar of Christ. Thank God that he said it. To make sure that priests and religious recognize their vocation and the laity recognize theirs. Because if there is one problem in the church today, it is the confusion of roles. So many people seeming to want to be something else than God has called them to be. We have one more reflection by way of conclusion. How are we to respond to our respective vocations? Our response, the Holy Father tells us, should be made, first of all, in freedom. This means that we understand what our vocation is, that our wills are enlightened by the mind, itself illumined by faith. And once we see what God wants me to do, then I choose to embrace my vocation with perfect liberty. A vocation is not a coercion, it's a call. It implies a free response. Second, we are to respond with generosity. This means that we give ourselves to the vocation to which we are called wholeheartedly. Why? Because it is God who calls. This is what giving ourselves to God with our whole heart is all about. And third, that we respond in freedom, with generosity, and out of love. The Pope wouldn't be who he is if he did not insist that we are to respond like Mary to our Annunciation. She had her vocation, we've got ours. Like her, that we respond because we love the God who calls us and are ready to do whatever he desires, no matter how weak we are. We should have no illusions. No more than Mary had no illusions. of how impossible it is to respond to a divine vocation. But believing, like her, that no one calls himself, since it is God who calls, God will provide the means. And if there is one phrase we should memorize and burn into our memories, it is that nothing is impossible with God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.